Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
I feel like much of America has lost their mind. Maybe a lot of you feel the same way. I'm not sure that when we look back on March and April and May and now moving into June, that when you actually look at the data, you're going to say, man, it made a lot of sense the way that people responded to the coronavirus and the way that people bought into all the fear that spiraled out of it. 40 million people have lost their jobs. We get a new unemployment report in hour three of the program today. I hope that unemployment report is showing finally some signs of things not being completely an unmitigated disaster. But I think when the whole nation, or a large percentage of the nation is buying into fear, it's allowed emotion to overcome logic in almost the entire country. And people are responding emotionally to everything. And if you respond emotionally, then you oftentimes aren't looking at the facts or behaving in a logical fashion. And I think all of this will be tied together in a several-month series of crazy stories. I say that for this reason. Drew Brees probably means more to his city and state than any current player in the entirety of the NFL. If you look at what Drew Brees and his family have done since Hurricane Katrina hit, winning a Super Bowl, donating $5 million to charities in the New Orleans area, which I don't think any other player, to my knowledge, that is currently playing any sport has donated anywhere near as much as that dollar figure. Yet Drew Brees said, hey, I stand for the national anthem to honor and respect my grandfathers who fought in World War II. And right now, I just got up this morning, and the headline on ESPN.com is, and I quote, Drew Brees' controversial comments. Controversial. All right? I want you to listen. Do you remember when Mike Gundy, on this program we came on, Mike Gundy was like, hey, I think we got to get back to work. I expect players to come back on, I think he said, May 15th. Hopefully we might have to bump it back to June 1. And everybody on the internet went crazy and lost their minds. And I was like, let's play the audio. Did Mike Gundy say anything that was crazy? And we all came on and we listened to it. And I think I was basically the only person in media who was like, I don't think Mike Gundy said anything wrong. And then guess what happened? Pretty much everybody's back by June 1, June 8, June 15. I mean, he actually ended up having a better prediction about how this thing was going to play out than any sports figure that I'm aware of. Yet because Mike Gundy stepped out of the mainstream a little bit and said exactly what he thought, everybody rained down insults upon him. And this is what happens now. People say, oh, we need to have honest conversations. We need authenticity. We need people to say what they really believe. And then when it happens, the blue checkmark brigade on Twitter, if you say something other than what they believe, people lose their minds. It's uncanny. We need to have an honest conversation. Oh, no, you didn't. You can't say that. I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I think we make bad decisions when everybody is in agreement about everything. The two dumbest things that we have done as a country in the 21st century were bipartisan and done with popular acclamation. What do I think the two dumbest things we've done as a country in the 21st century were? Shut down this country for a virus that has almost no impact on the vast majority of healthy people, and go to war in Iraq. Boom. There you go. Truth bomb for you. The two dumbest things that we have done in the 21st century, we have wasted trillions of dollars as a country on things that everybody agreed with. Conflict is good. People disagreeing is good because it means that you're getting all sides of every argument out there, and it means that you're trying to avoid shouting people down. When you have everybody agreeing on everything, what it means oftentimes is you have stifled dissent. Dictatorships have quote-unquote agreement. When Saddam Hussein was the leader of Iraq, he got 99.9% of all the votes for president. Kim Jong-un, right now in North Korea, gets every vote of popular praise if you ask a North Korean walking around and you want to do an interview. That's because if you say something bad about Kim Jong-un in North Korea, the Korean state police comes and grabs you and puts you in jail and you're never seen again. And oh, by the way, they may also come and grab and take your family and put them in jail too. And jail may be fortunate because they also might just kill you. Totalitarianism leads to agreement. Democracy should be dirty at times. They should be ugly at times. They should be contentious always. Conflict is good. But we got to stop branding things that aren't remotely controversial. So if you haven't heard, here is what Drew Brees said yesterday that set the world on fire in the world of sports.
Everyone is looking back now at Kaepernick's protests from a few years ago, and obviously they were always about police brutality, and now it's coming back to the fore, and a lot of people expect that we will see players kneeling again even when the NFL season starts. I'm curious how you think the NFL will and should respond to that, and of course, you're such a leader in the league. What is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league?
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s, and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better, and that we are all part of the solution.
I think that's almost perfect. I mean, this is what Drew Brees just said is right now being labeled controversial. He wasn't reading that off a script. He didn't have a teleprompter. He was responding to a question as a part of an interview with Yahoo. I read the quote. I hadn't even heard the audio. I read the quote and I was like, there must be more. I felt like, remember back at the Cosby Show when Theo got the $100 shirt and Claire was like, there better be a pair of pants in there. And she starts digging through. Like, that's what I felt like when I saw this quote was considered controversial. I was like, where's the rest of it? Where's the controversial part? I stand up to honor my grandfathers who fought Nazis and helped to make the world a safer place and think about their sacrifice and sometimes get emotional with my hand over my heart. That is controversial. What in the world have we come to in sports when that's considered a controversial opinion? I think that's a hell of an answer on the spot for an athlete who isn't necessarily expecting to be asked a question like that. And people are like, oh, Drew Brees should retire. It's time for him to go. He donated $5 million to causes in New Orleans. He is a huge reason why the Saints are still in New Orleans, he and his family. Otherwise, they might be in San Antonio. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills that I haven't seen a single person on my timeline standing up for Drew Brees and being like, you know what? I agree with everything Drew Brees said. So, boom, print it. Clay Travis, I agree with everything Drew Brees said. I hope he stands to it. If you disagree with Drew Brees, that's your right. But you are trying to find a way to be offended if you are upset by what Drew Brees just said. That's the truth. I hate that I'm the only person in sports media now with the balls to drop truth bombs on people, but we've entered into such a crazy place. Play that audio one more time, and then I'm going to open up phone lines. Is anybody actually offended by this? We have defined offense to such a minimal degree that somehow people are getting offended by these quotes. Are people even listening to the quote? I don't even understand how you could take a sentence out of this quote and be offended by it personally. But I find it almost impossible to believe that people out there listen to this answer and found a way to be offended by it. Listen again.
Everyone is looking back now at Kaepernick's protests from a few years ago, and obviously they were always about police brutality, and now it's coming back to the fore, and a lot of people expect that we will see players kneeling again even when the NFL season starts. I'm curious how you think the NFL will and should respond to that, and of course, you're such a leader in the league. What is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league?
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s, and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. And that we are all part of the solution.
I hope Drew Brees doesn't apologize because I think he nailed it. I think that is almost a perfect response, giving his exact opinion of why he is standing for the national anthem with his hand over his heart. And I can't believe this is considered controversial. Lead story on ESPN right now. Drew Brees, the fallout from his controversial comments. You just heard everything that Drew Brees said. Is that remotely controversial? I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'll bring in the crew. We will discuss. I'm hot. 877-996-6369. This is Outkick the Coverage. Appreciate you hanging out with us where the First Amendment is still the First Amendment.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Drew Brees has not so far run from his comments. He told ESPN that he respects his teammates and their opinions. Quote, I believe we should all stand for the national anthem and respect our country and all those who sacrificed so much for our freedoms. That includes, this is Drew Brees to a text at ESPN, that includes all those who marched for women's suffrage in the 1920s, all those who marched in the civil rights movement and continue to march for racial equality. All of us, everyone, all caps, represent that flag. Same way I respect all the citizens of our country, no matter their race, color, religion. And I would ask anyone who has a problem with what I said to look at the way I live my life. Do I come across as someone who is not doing my absolute best to make this world a better place, to bring justice and equality to others and hope and opportunity to those who don't have it? That's what I meant by actions speak louder than words. My all cap actions speak for themselves. I don't find any of this remotely controversial at all. I'll bring in the crew. We'll take your calls, 877-996-6369. Dr. David Chow is going to join us for hour three. Danny G, we played the context. We played the audio. I just added more context, more quotes from Drew Brees. I'm glad that he's not backing down. I don't see anything that he said that's wrong.
Yeah, I think the word disrespecting is what got a lot of people hot. But, you know, we talked about this in hour one. I have always disagreed with you, and we've had nice conversations, even though they got heated 3 years ago at times. I've never agreed with your take on you know, kneeling. I don't think peaceful kneeling is bad. It doesn't bother me. My grandfather proudly fought as an Army sergeant in World War II, so I can appreciate Brees' stance on that. Although the way he fondly remembers his grandfather's, my grandfather was drinking at that time and really mean to me when I was a little kid because of the things he saw in the war. So maybe that's why I'm not thinking of my grandpa so much during a national anthem. But look, it's okay to listen. It's okay to be able to see both sides of an argument. We started off the week after such a horrible weekend in a video that bothered us to the core, to where, like me, I'm sure most of America has had problems sleeping this past week. I'm going to be honest with you. Every night I've tried to go to bed this past week, I have so much on my mind. It's been hard to get a good night's sleep. And I'm sure a lot of other people can relate to that. When he comes out and says his truth, I'm not going to get triggered by that. And I disagree with it being disrespectful, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to listen to his thoughts about it. He's entitled to his opinion. I'm entitled to mine. And if one thing we can get out of all this that's been going on the past couple of weeks is let's stop and listen to what everybody feels and what they think, and we can learn from each other, no matter what race you are.
Dub, what did you think?
I don't find it very controversial at all. He was asked a question and he answered it honestly, which is all anyone ever wants, especially from professional athletes.
That's what we say. We want athletes and coaches to be honest. And then when they're honest, people are like, well, we didn't want them to say that. It's amazing how often that happens.
So, I mean, I have no problem with, you know, people, if they want to take a knee during the national anthem, I have no problem if they disagree with that. I mean, to me personally, I think anyone should be able to do whatever they feel is right for them. And Drew Brees just laid out in this interview, after he was asked a question, what he believes is right for him. And now everyone's mad about it.
Eddie, you do updates and have been doing updates since you served with Drew Brees' grandfathers back in World War II. Do you sometimes get blown away by the reaction from a news perspective? We played the question, we played the answer. I really don't understand how this is considered remotely controversial.
No, if you would have told me at the time, hey, we've got some audio, listen to this and tell me what you think before all this blew up, before the reaction from people, you know, what do you think about this? I wouldn't have thought anything about it.
And you're in the news business. That's what I'm pointing to. Like, you would listen, like you're trying to keep your ear tuned to like, what's the news story going to be? And the same thing as me, I read it and I made the joke about the Cosby Show, like back, what was it, the Z's Cavarisi shirt, if you remember old school Cosby Show, Theo got a $100 shirt and then Denise tried to make it for him. And there's a great scene where Claire Huxtable is like digging through the package, like $100, there better be a pair of pants in there. I saw the quotes and I was like, what, like I was like digging around. I was like, what else was said? Because this isn't, to me, remotely controversial.
And it's actually crazy. Day before last, someone tweeted to me, what do you think we'd be talking about right now if sports were going on? And I said, we would be talking about people demonstrating during the national anthem. And And now I'm seeing to see the reaction to this. I mean, it's we're all counting the days until sports returns. And this is, and I'm not trying to suggest that sports is more important than what's going on in life. But I'm just saying my enthusiasm for sports returning now and knowing that what we're going to be talking about
is
just like, great. Now I'm not even, how am I going to be able to even enjoy sports when it comes back?
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, we were going to be headed towards a great American reopening and everybody was going to be ecstatic about sports coming back.
And we all agree sports is supposed to be a great uniter. We've talked about this so many times. You could be of any color, of any ethnicity. You could be of any gender. You could be of any age. And if you're next to me wearing the same jersey as me, I'm high-fiving you.
Yeah,
or we're
right.
both booing together. And we're not even having that now, it seems.
Oh, yeah, I already thought about that too, because now all of a sudden everything is going to be about, and there may not even be fans present. So maybe that's an easy escape. Maybe they don't have to play the national anthem if there's no crowds. I don't know. Maybe Roger Goodell now is like, yeah, maybe we should have no crowds and we'll just start the game, right? The first snap. But you know, I just feel like so many people are going to feel compelled to draw attention to themselves in some way associated with this now. And I do think that it's going to detract from the excitement over sports finally returning. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe by, you know, September, other things are going to have happened. We're also going to be in the middle of an election cycle. I mean, people talk about how crazy 2020 is, and it's an accurate statement. It has been a crazy year already. It's only June 4th or whatever. We should say, by the way, Vegas casinos opened at midnight last night. So they have only been open on the West Coast for what, like 3.5 hours, 4.5 hours, whatever the heck it is, and that is that's pretty nice, right? If you're on the West Coast and you're wanting life to get back to normal, we got amusement parks opening in Florida and casinos opening in Vegas. That is the very definition of normalcy to many people in American life.
Clay, people were so excited about some of the casinos opening in Vegas that they were literally standing in line for a couple of hours and did a countdown like the ball was dropping for New Year's Eve.
That's awesome. I think all of them are open now, right? Vegas, the Strip is back to be in the Strip.
Well, some opened earlier than others, but yeah, the Strip is going to be back to normal.
June 4th was the day, I think, where today now everything is back to running in Vegas, which is a big part of returning to normalcy. Again, the casinos opening. And that's why I'm talking about like how crazy it is. The NBA is just now coming back. I'll probably talk about this some tomorrow. But you can go gamble in a Vegas casino. You can go stand in line for the Hogwarts Express at Universal Studios, Florida. And the NBA is not going to be back until July 31st. And you aren't going to be able to even watch the NBA or Major League Baseball on television for the entire month of June. That's crazy to me. Roberto, what do you think about all this controversy?
Well, I just thought of him. Him saying disrespecting the flag doesn't really bother me. If I just thought the timing wasn't good.
Yeah, but see,
the timing wasn't good.
My thing on the timing is when you get asked a question, I don't know that there's very many times where it's a bad time to give your honest opinion. Honestly, except like I said at the end of hour one, I was like, if your wife says, "Do I look fat in these jeans or this dress?" You should always lie.
Yeah,
it's not a good time to give your honest opinion. His
awareness on Madden is zero now.
His awareness on Madden. Speaking of which, my kids are downstairs. If you hear them screaming in the background, we've got a lot of Madden seasons that have been played since the lockdown went into effect here. All right, let me get your update, Eddie, and then we will go ahead and we'll take some calls. And then Dr. David Chow is going to join us in hour three. Eddie, what is the latest?
Well, obviously the big story, and it will continue to be the big story today in the NFL, is the New Orleans Saints and their star quarterback Drew Brees getting backlash, including from teammates over comments he made in an interview that we played at the top of the hour. He was asked about players kneeling during the national anthem when the NFL season returns. He said he would never agree with anyone disrespecting the flag of the United States of America. The Saints will hold a virtual team meeting today. However, head coach Sean Payton claims the meeting was scheduled 2 weeks ago and is not about the comments made by Drew Brees or the reaction of some of his teammates. In baseball news, as expected, the league has rejected the player's offer of a 114-game regular season with no additional salary cuts. The league has also told the union it does not plan to make a counterproposal. The 50-game season with no salary reductions has not officially been proposed by the league that we've heard about. NBA news coming up today, 12:30 Eastern time. The NBA's Board of Governors are going to reportedly approve a proposal on a 22-team format to restart the season in Orlando, Florida. And in soccer news, the MLS Players Association approved changes to the collective bargaining agreement, avoiding a lockout, and there will be a pro soccer season this year in the U.S. Now back to Clay Travis and the Geico Outkick the Coverage studios.
Well, so much for this. Drew Brees has now apologized. This is the problem with everything in America. We say we want honest conversations. Somebody gives an honest conversation, honest statement, and then they get criticized, and then they apologize. And this is like a bad cliche. Drew Brees on Instagram, he posted a white hand interlocked with a black hand. And then he said as follows. I'm reading. I haven't even read the full statement. I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I have caused. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity, I'm about the American flag and the national anthem. I made comments that were like, he didn't actually do this, that were insensitive and completely missed the mark. This is just, I'm not even going to read the whole comments. Here is the deal. Say what you believe. And if some people disagree with what you believe in, so what? Everyone agreeing on everything is not real. And it also is not what should happen in a democracy. When you apologize for honest comments that you make that offend people, what you end up doing is leaving no one respecting you. Really, I'm going to be honest with you. I tell you what I think every day. If you disagree, more power to you. You can do whatever you would like to disagree with my comments every single day. But I'm never going to apologize for what I believe, period. Not to anyone. And the minute that you do apologize, you actually lead to more of this argument of there's only one right opinion, which is what scares me about the country these days. What happens is people are focused on the need for conversation, and what they mean is everybody needs to have the same opinion. Unanimity of opinion scares me far more than conflict of opinion. Unanimity of opinion is how we end up with totalitarianism. I said this in hour one, the two dumbest decisions that I believe have been made by our government in the 21st century were bipartisan decisions. Those two things, shutting down the country, which is continuing, is, I think, the dumbest decision that has been made by the United States government in my life. You can maybe argue we should have shut down for a couple of weeks for the coronavirus. Everything since then, I believe, is idiocy. There's no reason that California should be shut down still. There's no reason, if you look at the data, that Michigan or Pennsylvania or Minnesota or Illinois, no reason any of those states should be shut down. You can go to the casino in Vegas. You can go to the amusement park in Florida. Florida and Vegas have got it right. This virus is not a threat to most young, healthy people. The second dumbest decision was going to war in Iraq. We wasted trillions of dollars, tens of thousands of lives by making the wrong decisions in both cases, and that was bipartisan, and we shouted down anyone who disagreed. If you oppose the war in Iraq, and I did, I was just a kid back then, I was a law student, and I opposed, you talk to anybody I went to law school with, we debated all this stuff, I opposed the war in Iraq. If you opposed the war in Iraq, people said you weren't a patriot, you hated America. That was the argument against you. It's how Bill Maher ended up losing his television show. And similarly, if you opposed the lockdown, people were like, oh, you don't care about grandma's dying. Oh, you want everybody to die. No. I want us to be rational and reasonable, looking at all the facts and making calculated decisions. In neither of those situations did it ever make sense. Couple of quick calls, and then we're going to go to Dr. David Chow. Who's up first, Dub?
All right, we got Dominic in Ohio.
Dominic, what you got for me?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to talk kind of quick because I don't know how much time I got. I appreciate your support and what you guys are doing. Hey, a long time ago, it occurred to me, I'm going to state college. I'm a Penn State grad. We travel every weekend, and we spend about $1,200 a weekend to see a game. And we look around, there's 100,000 people doing the same thing. And it occurred to me, man, if we took the money that we're all spending on sports and we pulled that together, we could probably cure cancer. Now, if anything I've learned over the last 11 weeks and especially the last 9 days, it's what's real. What's real is people, not athletes, actors, actresses, musicians acting like so we're just warriors. Let's ask them to put their money where their mouth is. Let's ask everyone in America to take one weekend. Just don't go to one event, whether it's a casino, a game, a concert, and donate the money. And let's funnel that to the inner city businesses, whether it's minority, whether it's white, whether it's Asian. I don't care. Black, white, Asian, I don't care who you are. Let's get that money to these businesses that may be shut down forever due to rioting and COVID. And that's real social justice. Let's ask LeBron James to put his money where his mouth is by making $2 million less a year. I'll start today with $1,000. That's probably the equivalent of LeBron James donating $4 million to help an inner city business in New York recover from this crap.
Thanks for the call. And I appreciate the call to do more. Capitalism works. And so we have to allow capitalism to work. It's why our country dominates, because we allow individuals to go out and make a living. And when we don't allow businesses to open up, that's frustrating to me, whether they're white, black, Asian, or Hispanic-owned businesses. You put your heart and soul into a business. I own a business. I put my heart and soul into it. I've got employees. Their families depend on our business existing. To label a business essential or non-essential is a fundamental flaw of American democracy to me. All businesses are essential to people who own them or work for them. Who's up next?
All right, we got Richard in St. Louis.
Richard, what you got?
Hey, Clay. Thanks for taking my call. Number one, I agree with Drew Brees 100%.
You agreed with his first statement. Now he's apologized.
Right. It makes me sick that he apologized. And number two, also, you're not only the only person in sports media to deviate from the narrative that's being forced on us. You're the only one in the Fox Sports family that's speaking out on this. And why haven't we heard more about the guy, the NBA sports announcer, who was fired because they asked him if he thought Black Lives Matter, and he said he thinks all lives matter. Fired. Lost his job. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't paid a lot of attention to that story. I know it's out there. And so I know this is crazy, but unless I've spent a lot of time researching and reading and studying a story and understand the background on it, I tend not to jump in with an aggressive opinion. I know that's the opposite of what most people do on social media, but I try to, when I speak, be very comfortable that I'm well-informed on all of the different angles involved in a story, and I just don't know enough about that one. One more quick call.
All right, we got Adam in Indianapolis.
Adam, what you got?
Hey, can I offer some constructive criticism for the call-in portion of your show?
Yeah, no. Thanks for the call. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. David Chow.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Chris, is all the debate, all the posturing, all the discussion, at least in the NBA, going to be over come about 1 o'clock Eastern today? Is the NBA going to be back on July 31st?
It certainly is trending in that direction. I think there'll be a consensus on this plan that the NBA is putting forward to have 22 teams come back and convene in Las Vegas with a play-in tournament at the end. It's certainly not a scenario that everybody agrees with necessarily, but as I've told you in recent weeks, Clay, that, you know, teams are going to get on board with this. I think there are still obstacles to clear. There are certainly negotiations that are still ongoing with the players' union that you know, at least the NBA is optimistic can get done. But, you know, this is, you know, this afternoon I think will be get them into like the proverbial red zone when it comes to get coming back.
They're going to be at Disney World. How long are they going to be there? Is it possible that they start the playoffs there and then eventually finish them in home arenas?
No, I think at this point, you're locked in to this situation. I think if there's if there's a vaccine that develops in September and everybody can get it and things change dramatically, okay, maybe we can think of that. But it's just unrealistic to think that, you know, nationwide you're going to be able to hold events like this where they require the kind of travel and interaction with people. I mean, the NBA is pretty locked in on this July to mid-October at the latest kind of schedule, and really informed teams to that end that, you know, if you're in this, you're in this all the way through.
Is it going to look strange when Disney World is open and there are tens of thousands of people standing in line for Space Mountain, and potentially when there are going to be crowds of some form or fashion, which I think there will be in college football and in the NFL, for the NBA to be playing in empty gyms?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's nothing normal looking about it. I mean, it is going to look and be strange all throughout. I mean, it's a risk the NBA is certainly willing to take. I mean, is it possible come, you know, mid to late September, we could have, you know, major college football being played in SEC schools in front of sizable crowds? Absolutely. But I think the NBA, their concern with crowds is more directed towards next season. That's why all the talk about starting next season has centered on Christmas or later. This season, all they want to do is get off the ground and get that TV revenue flowing, or at least, you know, be fulfilling the obligations that they have to those television partners. If they can accomplish that, they're really not worried about much else.
Is this going to change forever the NBA schedule? Because obviously they're going to finish at the latest date, I believe, October 12th, which would be Game 7 of the NBA Finals. If they finish in October 12th, they're going to come back later in the season, around the first of the year or Christmas. Is this a perpetual change, or do they readjust the schedule and get back on the traditional schedule at some point in the future?
Well, that hasn't been decided yet at the league level, and certainly that's a negotiation that has to include the television partners as well, who have contracts that say you're playing from X date to Y date, and, you know, that's the way it's going to be. But understand, like, to get back on track, the NBA would have to do something pretty radical at some point. They would have to either have a really abbreviated offseason, you know, in the summer or the fall of 2021 to get back on track, which they really don't have much of an appetite for, or they'd have to have a shortened season either next year or the year after, which they definitely don't have an appetite for. Losing games means losing revenue. So I think not so much this year, but next year, if they go the full 82 and they play into August, which I'm expecting them to do in the 2021 season, if they do that and the ratings are really strong and there seem to be advantages to avoiding the NFL in the fall, I think this could be just the impetus to change the schedule. Because as you know, there are plenty of people within the league circles that want to change the schedule anyway, regardless of what's been going on with this global pandemic. So next year, I think the data accrued in that type of season will be incredibly valuable for the league.
Who benefits here? All right, let's go to the actual on the court. 22 teams. You've got no home court advantage. You have everybody kind of staying in what seems like it's likely to be a Four Seasons that's right there on the Disney World property. This is kind of there is no precedent for this. There's no home court advantage. I have no idea. Do you think there's a team that's benefiting by this particular situation?
I wish I had a good answer for it. And, you know, I've talked to different people about it, but we're not going to know who benefits until we see what these guys look like. You know, I mean, most of them will be off for 3.5-4 months. Before they get back into a competitive basketball atmosphere. And I don't know who Sean Kemp is. I don't know.
That's right. For people who don't know, we don't know who's going to be the fat Sean Kemp of this NBA layoff.
Yeah, the 99 lockout, you know, put Sean Kemp into a different stratosphere, literally, when it came to weight gain.
So that's right.
I just don't know who that guy is going to be. I mean, I think if you want to boil it down to something simple, you can say the teams that don't rely on the three-point shot probably benefit the most. Because when these guys come back, there's just simply no way you can get into mid-season form and get your sharpness back from the perimeter in the span of a 3-week training camp and, you know, 7-8 regular season games. You just can't do it. So if you're a team that has, you know, more of an interior presence, or, you know, there's a reduced number of three-point shots, that probably puts you in a better position to be more efficient offensively.
So does that mean if you had to bet right now, would you take the Lakers? And this is the final question. Is there going to be an asterisk by this year's champ, or do you think people will treat them as the normal, legitimate champ?
I really think there'll be an asterisk because this isn't like the 99 season or the last lockout 6-7 years ago. Those had, you know, those had shortened regular seasons, but they had full playoffs, and everything was in motion once the season started. This is just so weird. I've had so many GMs say to me, Clay, this is not a resumption of the season. This is a whole new thing. And because it's a whole new thing, I think regardless of what happens, there will always be considered, you know, some kind of asterisk attached to it.
Great stuff as always at SI Chris Mannix. You can find him on Twitter there. You can read him at SI as well. Thank you, my man.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
All right, we got Adam in Indianapolis.
Adam, what you got?
Hey, can I offer some constructive criticism for the call-in portion of your show?
Yeah, no. I mean, I knew already where that was going to go. If that's your open, you're going to suck. And I've got to get out and make sure we get credit for every segment. So lead with your best stuff. All right. You got to think of yourself as being in a boxing ring. I don't want you to start off with 8 jabs in a row. All right. Bring the gust, the gist, the essence of what your take is immediately. That was a bad. Can we play that one more time? That was, I mean, it is fun to not know what the caller's going to say, but. I try to be honest. This is not a good open.
All right, we got Adam in Indianapolis.
Adam, what you got?
Hey, can I offer some constructive criticism for the call-in portion of your show?
Yeah, no. I just knew Adam was going to be bad. Like, literally, that's all I needed to know. Doc, so we got a fast segment here, Dr. Chow. You worked with Drew Brees as the team physician of the San Diego Chargers. How did you come to know him during that time?
Well, I got to know him pretty well. And, you know, at the time, his girlfriend, Brittany, now wife, and they were really, you know, great people. And it was different times, right? And, you know, I respect his stance and patriotism. But I think what players were saying and teammates are saying, and as a matter of fact, I had happened to have dinner last night with one of Brees' former teammates who happens to be black, and some others' former teammates called me about what I thought about the situation and et cetera. It's not, no one has an issue with Drew's statement about the flag. I think times have changed in terms of how the perception of the kneeling is, and that George Floyd video was so disturbing medically that I think times have changed in the sense that, you know, George Floyd didn't pass away because a rogue cop kneeled on his neck. He passed away because that cop continued to kneel on his neck after he passed out and went limp, and he did it for multiple minutes. Think about this, Clay. UFC fighters get choked out all the time, and after a minute or two, they're walking around the ring and they're congratulating the winners and so forth, and they don't have any problems or issues because when they go limp, they get the opponent lets go,
yeah,
or the referee tells them to let go. In this case, he didn't get off his neck. So technically, he didn't asphyxiate. That's correct. It wasn't a lack of oxygen by air. It was a lack of oxygen by blood delivery to his brain, and it continued. And that video was more disturbing to me than, you know, when Ryan Shazier went limp, you know, in the middle of that football game. And so I think times have changed is all.
Yeah. The issue, we played the audio, and you can go back and listen a ton to that audio in general. But the idea that you have to, I think, apologize for what you believe is, I think, problematic. And I've been saying this for a long time. I'm a First Amendment absolutist, right? Like, so...
Yeah, I agree.
So if the fact that there's literally at this time in the country that we're in, it's impossible almost for anyone to say anything in the public sphere and have 100% agreement, right? And so we played the audio, Drew Brees, we played the audio of his answer. I don't have any problem with it, but now he comes out and he apologizes, and the whole cycle just continues to repeat itself, which is we claim we want athletes to be honest and say what they really believe. And when they are honest, I'm not just talking about Drew Brees, and this goes for coaches too, but when athletes and coaches truly are honest and say what they really believe, very often when there is a blowback to that honesty, then they end up walking back whatever they said. We've seen this happen a ton, right? And I think ultimately what that does is it devalues the legitimacy of whatever debate or conversation we're involved in.
I can't agree with you more in what you're saying in terms of, you know, devaluing and, you know, if your opinion is fine, you're entitled to your opinion. I think in this case, though, a little bit that the context matters. And I think the context of how he said it and when he said it is what upsets people. You can say whatever you want. You can believe it. It may be true. There may be a fire, et cetera, but you can't, you know, yell fire in a crowded theater kind of situation. I'm not saying Drew did that, but I'm just saying context matters. And he did apologize, and I did have a chance this morning to read it, but he apologized less for his comments about patriotism than how it affected his teammates and other people and not understanding that. So he didn't really walk back. I mean, you're technically correct, Clay. He didn't walk back his original comments that you supported. He walked back how it made other people feel. And I think that's really important, especially in a locker room situation. I have to say it's good that he seems to have talked to Cam Jordan and Malcolm Jenkins and a lot of different people. Because let me tell you, his former teammates, it was a topic of conversation among them and how it would make them feel white and black in a locker room. And he's got to repair that locker room to make sure that they can go forward. It's a different bond in there, and I think that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, and also it's different because all of these guys are not together right now. I do think that isolation, but does that make sense? Like being out of the locker room and being out of the normal training camp routine, I think everybody is on edge and there's less face-to-face interaction everywhere. Dr. Chow, we blew through everything. This is going to be a short visit today. We will talk to you next week. We'll find out about the details on the NBA and how they're going to come back. I appreciate you as always at Pro Football Doc on Twitter. Go find him there. Sorry, we had short guest segments today because I took so many calls, and I appreciate all of you. The First Amendment is always alive and well on this program. This is OutKick. I am Clay Travis, and this is Fox Sports Radio.